This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Coming up a little later in the show, we'll be hearing from Congressman Kevin Cramer as he and Tony talk about the trend of intimidation and violence toward those that hold a conservative viewpoint. Also, Family Research Council's own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins Tony to talk about the release of Bradley Chelsea Manning and its impact on morale in the military. But first, President Donald Trump spoke at Liberty University's commencement last Sunday about the importance of fighting for what you believe. Liberty graduate and campus reform correspondent Nicholas Hamilton joined Tony earlier this week to talk about the president's address.
Nicholas, congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. How are you today?
I'm quite well, thank you. Big crowd there. Of course, the president drew attention to that, as he likes to often. About 50,000 people, I understand, on campus?
There were 50,000 people on campus, but listen, everything went well. It was organized. Everyone was very happy to be there. We were proud to have a sitting president speak at the graduation.
As you should. Let me ask you this. His comments, very strong, I thought, on the issue of religious liberty and standing up to the bullies, to the critics who want to oppose those who want to live according to their faith.
Listen, he came, he knew what he had to do, and he did exactly that. Commencement services are not time to push political platforms. He took this as an opportunity to invest in the students, to look into their future and say, hey, here's what I've done to be successful, and I want to tell you how to do that as well. People left encouraged. They were very happy with his speech. And overall, I think every student and graduate was very pleased to hear what he had to say.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nicholas. You know, some in the press were wanting him to talk about Comey and other political events, and he didn't do that. He appropriately used the platform to celebrate the accomplishments that the graduates, yourself included, had that milestone that you had reached. But then I think appropriately, I mean, the world's largest evangelical university is pumping out, thousands of graduates. And I think, in fact, it was a message. I don't know if you were at the convocation back in the fall when I spoke, but his message was not much different than mine.
No, it was not. Listen, he took this, like I said, he took this opportunity and did well. We had Elizabeth Warren at the University of Massachusetts, and she wanted to take that opportunity to push her political agenda. It wasn't appropriate, and if I had been a student there, I would have been very disappointed. But listen, Donald Trump did exactly what he needed to. He said, when someone says that something's impossible, that's the green light to keep going. He didn't back down from talking about his faith, and he didn't back down from talking about what was important to our future as graduates. But aren't we, you know, very proud to be Liberty alum today?
Well, Nicholas, one of the statements he made that really captured my attention was, he said this, he said, we will always stand up for the right of all Americans, talking about his administration, to pray to God and to follow his teachings. America is beginning a new chapter. And given what we've seen the last 8 years under the religious hostility of Barack Obama, I mean, that is music to my ears.
It is music to my ears as well. We've done a lot on campus in terms of religious liberty. And to hear that from a sitting president, I can't tell you how happy that makes me. You know, we've seen the president do some really great things. And one of the things that I'm most proud to see is the people that he has surrounded himself with, mm-hmm. including yourself. He's been very happy to take counsel from you, from Jerry Falwell Jr., the president of Liberty University, Vice President Mike Pence, and other great religious leaders around the country. And, you know, we can be at peace with that, knowing that he's been willing to surround himself with those people and know that the Lord has a voice in his life through leaders like yourself.
Well, Nicholas, what I have been encouraged by is that, you know, as he came, spoke on campus a little over a year ago, you know, won the Republican primary, went on to win the election in large part because of evangelical support. He's not backed away from that support. In fact, he's embraced that community, which, quite frankly, is uncommon for a politician. They tend to move away. He's actually moving toward.
He is moving toward, and we can see by his executive order last week or in the past few weeks that he is making steps in the right direction, seeking counsel for yourself and others to limit the Johnson Amendment's hold that it has on churches, on universities, Christian universities like our alma mater and churches in itself, that they now churches do not have to fear the IRS, you know, tightening down on them for using political speech from the pulpit and preaching a moral message. And I can't tell you how happy I am. You know, the executive order, it could have gone a little bit farther, and there's a long road ahead of us and many more things we can do, but it was absolutely a step in the right direction.
So, Nicholas Hamilton, with degree in hand, what's next for you?
Well, sir, you know, the Lord's blessed me with some fantastic opportunities, and I have to give him all the glory for that. Politics is looking really great for me, and the Lord, like I said, the Lord's opened doors, advertising, public relations, communications. I graduated from LU with a degree in professional communication, speech communications, so we will see. I'm waiting on the Lord to open that right door, but I have full faith that he will do that.
Well, as the president told you on Saturday, follow your convictions. It means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the courage to do what's right. Nicholas, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome, sir. Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Nicholas Hamilton when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider a gift to Family Research Council as they continue to fight for your values in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Again, that's tonyperkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at the increasing violence against those who hold a conservative viewpoint.
Mark your calendars for the 2017 Values Voter Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. With a new administration in place, America is primed for change. Seize the moment to inform and mobilize Americans to protect religious liberty, champion traditional values, strengthen national security, and limit the size of government. Invited speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Senator Ted Cruz, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Lash, Franklin Graham, Dr. Alveda King, Benjamin Watson, and many more. Plus, don't miss the opportunity to network and meet with organizations and other values voters to discuss the most pressing issues of our day, including religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, and more. On October 13th through 15th, join us for the premier conservative event in the country. Register now at the early bird rate of $99 until May 31st. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On Tuesday's edition of Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, Tony was joined by Congressman Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. He and Tony talked about the left's increasing use of violence to intimidate conservatives into silence. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
It's good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Congressman, I know you were in your district just having town hall meetings, staying in touch with your constituents, and tell our listeners what happened.
Sure. Well, my town halls, first of all, I think, to be fair, I have a lot of them. In fact, according to Legislature, I have the most of any member. So I don't have a lot of the pent-up anxiety that some others have. And, of course, as you stated, I have the whole state, so I spread them out a lot. So I never had, I didn't even have 100 people at any one of my town halls this last week. But they were rowdy, and in one particular case, the gentleman, I guess that's the kind of term for him, but he kept getting up and kind of charging toward me at the in front of the room. I have what's called coffee with Cramer, so they're pretty casual events. And after about the third or fourth time he came toward me, some people that were irritated and concerned for my safety got up and tried to stop him. And the person that grabbed him first was arrested, or not arrested, but removed. And then he came at me one more time, took some money out, tried to shove it in my pocket. And all of this is sort of over the fact that they hate rich people. He hates rich people. Donald Trump's rich and should pay more in taxes. And anyway, but when he shoved this money in my pocket, of course, that required contact, and he did it fairly aggressively, and then that police officer removed him. Well, the same person is a pretty regular caller to talk radio. He writes a lot of letters to the editor. He leaves awful voicemail messages and various people's voicemail. But the thing, I think, and to get to the topic you were just discussing, there is an intimidation factor to all of this. Not to me. I believe that bullies prey on weak people, and I try very hard not to be intimidated. I don't offend very easily either. But many others, conservatives and even just regular people, normal people that are there to learn something, are very much intimidated by this.
Right, right.
And that's what concerns me more than anything.
Yeah, that's a good point, because when people don't like to, they're coming out to have coffee with you. They want to sit down and find out what's happening in Washington, D.C., and they're not accustomed to that kind of stuff. And so when they see it, they wow, I don't want to be a part of that. And so they're not going to come back next time as a result, which that hinders your ability to represent the citizens of your state.
That's exactly right. That's well said. And the other thing is, many of them after these events will come and say, "Well, I wanted to say this, or I want to tell my Obamacare tragic story of not being able to pay my deductible or not be able to use the health care I have, but I was afraid for my safety." I hear that from a lot of people, and for the most part, many of them are they're stunned, not just by the aggressiveness or the physical approach of some of them and the loudness and rudeness. They're stunned even at their philosophy. The idea that wealthy people somehow should aren't paying their fair share, or somehow we should hate them because they're wealthy, or a single payer system is the only way to go, is really kind of astounding for many North Dakotans. It's the first time they've heard fellow North Dakotans even talk like that.
Yeah, that's true, it's an education, it's an experience, but an experience some would prefer not to have. So, Congressman Cramer, how much money did he try to shove in your pocket?
Well, it wasn't very much. He took everything he had out of his pocket. I don't know how much it was. I quickly gave it to the police officers who took him away to make sure he got it back. The point he was trying to make was he wanted to show he's willing to have his taxes go up. The story I never got to tell was the fact that Obamacare actually had created a loophole for exchanges, and about two-thirds of the states took advantage of this loophole to actually make it impossible for faith-based organizations, congregations, charities to help people pay their deductibles and their premiums should there be a lapse. That was sort of a gift to the insurance companies, evidently, to allow them to kick people off of their insurance if they have lapse. And so they didn't even allow charities to be charitable. I didn't even get to that point because, of course, I think that's a ruckus. But he was trying to illustrate he was willing to have his taxes go up. The problem was he was making that same claim for everybody sitting in the room and all of our citizens.
Well, I think I would have kept the money and sent him a receipt for a campaign contribution.
There you go. That would have been the ultimate insult.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Congressman Kevin Cramer of North Dakota. He represents the entire state, which there's a couple of states like that where you actually have a congressman. You got two senators, but one congressman because of the population of the state. Now, Kevin, you're not the only one that's in this category. You've had other members that have experienced, even cases of some greater hostility from the left.
Yeah, in fact, I was just on the airplane getting to Washington, my friend from Minnesota, Eric Paulson, was telling me that protesters were waiting for him at the airport when he arrived home, and that they shut down his office. And I don't really, Tony, I guess what I wonder about is this an effective way to make your point? And to me, at least in places like North Dakota nice, Minnesota nice, I don't think it is. I think people look at that and go, wow, they may not stand up to the bully at the airport or at the office or at a town hall, but I suspect they'll stand up to him at the ballot box, hopefully, and say, we're not going to reward this crazy liberal left tactic and strategy. Not to mention, it just erodes their whole intellectual argument to the degree they have one.
Well, they've never been worried about making an intellectual argument. That's why they use the intimidation. They want to silence the other side because they cannot defend their own views and positions. You know, Congressman, I think, look, it's not going to affect guys like you or, you know, others that are being intimidated. Jason Chaffetz, he's experienced. Right. Diane Black, who is a good friend. Right. Justin Amash, Roger Marshall in Kansas, Tom McClintock in California. They've all experienced this. And in fact, Congressman from Tennessee, Kustoff, had a case of road rage where David had somebody trying to run him off the road that had, yeah, after one of his town hall meetings. That's not going to shake you guys. I mean, I know you guys. I know you're solid in your commitments, your beliefs, your ideology, why you're here. But I go back to what you said earlier, because I think this is what it's all about. This is about intimidation. It is about trying to silence public discussion and debate and dialogue, and it's to drive conservatives who came out in record numbers in this last election to make a change. It's to drive them back into the shadows of society. And what we have to do is not respond in kind, but to respond, right, with boldness and courage and say, you know what, this is America. We're not going to be silenced.
No, I think that's exactly right, Tony, and that's the most important message for all of us. And you know, of course, you've been active for so long in the arena, the real arena of, for example, religious liberties, that where we've seen in many respects, and this is just my observation, Tony, my opinion, but over the last few decades where the church itself has been intimidated into silence in many cases, and we see the result. Now we wake up and we suddenly don't have the liberties that we had previous to all of this because we didn't stand up for them when the fight was early. And it's got real consequence to not stand up to this. And again, not with the same tactics for sure, but nonetheless with boldness and perseverance.
Without question. Congressman Kevin Cramer, thank you for joining us, and thank you for standing up and not being intimidated.
Thank you for the encouragement. One thing we all need in this business, I always say to my supporters and my constituents, hold me accountable and then have my back, and I'll do the same.
Absolutely. And next time, keep the money, okay?
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You can find out more about Congressman Cramer when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, a look at the release of Bradley Chelsea Manning from a military prison.
Imagine being threatened by the government for reading a magazine article. This is exactly what Don Vanderboon, owner of the West Michigan Beef Company, experienced when USDA inspectors threatened to shut down his operation because of reading material that they found in his company break room, which defended biblical marriage. Mr. Vanderboon's employees were well aware of the material and of the company's publicly stated Christian principles and had no objections. As we all know, religious liberty is an indelible thread woven into the fabric of America. Without it, the American experiment will fail. Yet time and time again, the freedom of Americans to believe and live out those beliefs has been attacked by government action. Now more than ever, our first freedom of religious liberty needs protection. Watch a special program hosted by FRC President Tony Perkins, where you'll hear from real people whose freedom to believe has been affected in real ways, including Mr. Vanderboon himself. Go to frc.org/believe to watch this special presentation. Girls having privacy in school showers, locker rooms, and bathrooms is a no-brainer, right? Fairfax County, Virginia has become ground zero in the efforts to impose transgender ideology on American school children. In a panel discussion that includes a school board member, a concerned parent, and an attorney, tactics used by the transgender lobbyists are exposed and strategies parents and taxpayers can use to fight back are explored. Visit frc.org/events to view this vital discussion to combat the transgender ideology in public schools.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. While the left is in a frenzy over the possibility that President Trump may have revealed classified information to a Russian delegation last week, they're cheering the release of Bradley Chelsea Manning from a military prison. Manning was convicted of releasing thousands of classified documents to WikiLeaks in 2010. In December, then-President Obama commuted Manning's sentence. Here to discuss the events surrounding Manning's release, as well as its impact on the military, is FRC's own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin.
General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony.
All right. Your thoughts on Manning's release today?
Well, let's go back. You said he released thousands of documents. That could be 10, 20, 30,000. No, he released 750,000 classified documents. It is the largest espionage trial in the military in history. This man should have served his entire 35 years because the damage that he did by releasing those to Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks folks is incalculable. You don't know whose life has been put in danger. You don't know what techniques and have been compromised, what sources and methods have been compromised. That cannot be calculated. And this, he merited, he deserved the 35 years that he got. And the fact that the president did this like 3 days before he left office is just, I think it's inexcusable.
Well, Manning has become kind of a poster child for the transgender movement, because he is he's transgendered and at the expense of taxpayers has been going through the transition process. I mean, to me, it would appear that this is what this is all about. It was about the president promoting the whole transgenderism and appealing to the LGBTQ XYZ community as opposed to national security and our nation's military.
I don't think there is any question about that. Had he not been such a high-profile transgender person, I don't think that he would have grabbed the president's attention. I mean, what else can you use as an excuse for releasing this guy after 7 years? You know, the truth of the matter is, I mean, this all came about at a time when there was a lot of stuff that was going on. Not only WikiLeaks with Julian Assange, but you also had the fact that Bo Bergdahl had comported with the enemy for a period of 4 or 5 years, and then you had another espionage case. And why this one man, 3 days before he leaves office, the president steps forward and commutes his sentence, which doesn't exonerate him. It just simply terminates the rest of his sentence of 35 years and lets him out at 7 years. I think this is exactly what you just said. It is because this guy was a high-profile transgender, and his agenda in his second term in office was focused on transgender issues, LGBT issues, and climate change, and that was probably the biggest part of his agenda in total.
So, General Boykin, what does this communicate to the intelligence community and to our nation's military?
I think it's a very bad message, Tony. First of all, to the military, I want you to think about this. There are actually some soldiers in confinement right now because the restricted rules of engagement put them in a situation where they couldn't fire unless they were fired upon, and some of them, in order to protect their people, some of them took action and have been taken to trial in a situation that is very confusing, and it's really largely created by the rules of engagement that are provided by the administration. They're in prison today, and this guy that is guilty of the largest case of espionage in the U.S. Army history, he's walking the streets as of today. How do you justify that? What's the message to the military there? And I think it's a very bad message, and I think it's a bad message to the intelligence community as well, because the one thing that they really need is they need top cover. They need presidential support. Of course, the president's gone. But I hope that Trump is looking at this and saying, I've got to help rebuild this intelligence community.
Now, the case with Bradley Manning is not over. There is an appeal that's being made as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right, Tony. He will technically be still on active duty, although he will not be drawing military pay, because he has appealed his conviction. And if they were to let him out of the military, then the military could not hear his appeal. So he has to stay on active duty until, or on the rolls, I should say. I wouldn't say active duty, that's a misnomer. But he stays on the military rolls until the appeal is over with. And of course, during that time, he has a ID card that he can go in a commissary or a post exchange. Technically, he can go into a military clinic and get medical care too. So, I'll tell you, when I look at how disgusting this is, it reminds me of how our military got under such duress under President Obama.
So he's seeking to have his conviction for espionage overturned completely.
Yeah, he was convicted of 22 charges against him. The one that he was not convicted of was cavorting with the enemy or aiding and abetting the enemy, which is what Bo Bergdahl was eventually charged with. But he was convicted of 20 other charges, so he has appealed the conviction. And if they can win, you know, any number of those, but they are really shooting for it all to get everything erased off the table.
It's going to be a tall order given the evidence against him. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you, Tony.
You can find out more about General Boykin when you visit TonyPerkins.com. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a link to all of the stories when you visit that website. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.